From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Robert Siegel. Consider for a moment Syria. During the Bush years, it ran afoul of just about every policy interest of the United States, and Syria seemed a prime candidate for regime change. Syria is not a democracy. It's been friendly with Iran and hostile to Israel. It intervenes in Lebanon, often with deadly effect. And it even seems to have run a clandestine nuclear project that the Israelis bombed. Syria has been negotiating indirectly with Israel through Turkey, and according to Washington Post columnist David Ignatius, Syria's president, Bashar Assad, is sounding a lot more confident nowadays. David Ignatius, welcome.
Thank you, Robert.
And you interviewed President Assad recently, and evidently he strikes you as a man who has sounds like a survivor.
Well, he has survived a pressure campaign from the United States. The United States sought to isolate President Assad, and that campaign, as administration officials admit, has failed. Most important, over the last 2 years, Assad, as you said, has been negotiating indirectly through Turkey with Israel, and he's been negotiating all of the details of a peace treaty that would begin with return of the Golan Heights, but also it would involve security arrangements, all the things that would be essential. Israelis I talk to take this seriously, mm-hmm. and the Turkish intermediaries think that they're very close to having all the basics in line.
He wants the U.S. to be part of that process.
He wants the U.S. to be part of that process, and he told me Monday that if the U.S. will join as a co-sponsor, co-guarantor of this process, he is ready for direct talks with Israel, assuming that he gets some assurance that Israel is in fact prepared to hand over the Golan Heights.
A big sticking point here, obviously, would be Syria's relationship with Iran. How does the Syrian president describe his, what's often seen here as a virtual alliance with Tehran?
I asked Assad that question when I saw him Monday, and I said, looking at pictures of Assad and his wife when they visited France this summer, looking at them walking the streets, thoroughly secular and seemingly quite modern couple, I said, it just seems, looking at you, as if you're a man who's looking toward the West, that 10 years from now you'd like a more Western Mediterranean Syria than a Syria that's linked with Iran and this Islamic government. His answer was noncommittal. I'm told that in private channels, in every attempt to pin him down on this mm-hmm. question, it's hard to get a decisive answer. But what he said, in essence, was this is not about culture. It's not about the kind of state that I want. It's about what I need strategically now. Iran has supported me. I'm surrounded by countries that are hostile. And that's the reason for my relationship. It's not complicated, he said at one point. You could say that leaves open the possibility that were there a peace treaty with Israel, and he seems to really want that, that would change Syria's strategic position in a way that made possible greater distance from Iran, but he doesn't say so explicitly.
Lebanon, what does he say about Syria's involvement in Lebanon and its support of Hezbollah, the Shiite party and militia in the south?
He, interestingly, in addition to urging the U.S. to support the talks that he has underway, the indirect talks with Israel, he said that he thinks there should be two other tracks, that the Lebanese should be negotiating with Israel and that the Palestinians should be negotiating with Israel. So in that sense, he's broadly supportive of a comprehensive peace. And what's interesting about his answer is that he seems to be giving Lebanon room to maneuver, room to begin negotiations of its own with Israel that would inevitably, directly or indirectly, draw Hezbollah. Hezbollah's a part of the Lebanese government into a dialogue with Israel. That's interesting.
There's just one thing he said to you in the interview that I wanted to ask you about, which is he remarked on Barack Obama. You quote him as saying that he didn't know much about Obama, but he knew that he had lived among ordinary people at some point. He seemed to read something into that about Middle East policy that may be completely false, but it at least says something about an imperfect appreciation of the United States from abroad.
Yes, I think the main thing that came across was he really doesn't know much about Barack Obama. I should say that although he was cautious in what he said, the body language and some of the conversation mm-hmm. that surrounded the interview makes clear that he, as every other Middle East leader that I've talked to on this latest trip, is very excited, in some cases concerned, worried, but struck by the changes that may be coming with this new American administration.
David Ignatius, columnist for The Washington Post, thanks a lot for talking with us today.
Thank you, Robert.